Here all by himself. He was finally rescued. And when the rescuers got to the island, they saw he had built up a bit of a shanty town there, and they were puzzled why he had so many huts that he had built. And so they asked him about the huts, and he pointed to the first one. He said, "Yeah, what's that for?" And he said, "Well, that's my house. That's where I live." And then they said, "Okay, well, what about that second hut over there? What's that?" He said, "That's my church." And they're, "Oh, okay. So what's that third hut over there?" He said, "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." We see the humor in that, but you know, there's really a sad reality, kind of a truth to that, is that Christians in this world we know are not united as we should be, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, that we should have the same mind, that we should be united to Christ. But sadly, we see so many times in churches, I'm sure you've perhaps heard of this or experienced it in your own time, that churches will become divided and people will kind of break out into different personalities and personal agendas. And then the mission is hurt and people are left wounded and leaving the church swearing they'll never come back. And I think this has led to a lot of the attitude that we see today out in the culture where people will say, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. The church is filled with hypocrites. And so they don't want anything to do with the church. And their attitude is, well, I don't need a church to tell me where I'm going to go. And so they just don't want anything to do with the church. But you see, in the attitude then is also that, you know, my faith is personal, my faith is private, and it's nobody else's business. But you see, as we've been looking at in the last couple of weeks, we've seen how when we're connected in our baptism, we are connected to Jesus. We saw last week that being connected to Jesus means we're also connected to something greater than ourselves. We're connected to a kingdom. And the kingdom that we're connected to is the kingdom of God, which is also known as the church universal. It's all believers around the world, living today and departed. And this is the kingdom of God. And when you are connected to Jesus in your baptism, you are connected to a king. And you are connected to a kingdom. And we desire, as God's people, that this kingdom spread. As Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. We want this kingdom to spread. And so, where that plays out is in the local community, the church. As I said last week, an outpost of the kingdom of God. So it's in this community, while it's flawed and while certainly it's full of sinners, this community is absolutely essential to faith. We are connected to a community when we are baptized. God has placed each and every one of us here. Faith, of course, is personal, but faith is never private. We are to live out our faith in this community of brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's important to realize as we consider stewardship and how God has given us all of our resources, because we're working this together in community, and we're living out our faith in community. And that means, as today we're going to be giving our pledges of what we're going to commit to giving, even our offering, while no one is going to know what you've pledged, it's going to be in a sealed envelope, really what you're giving isn't private, because what we give impacts this community and how we can go about mission and what we can do together. For this community to function as it should, it has to be focused. It has to be united around Jesus. It has to be united around who he is and what he has come to do for us. And as we get to the epistle today, as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, this is a church that has forgotten what it was there for, forgotten the unity that it must have in order to function properly. They had divided up into all these different little groups. Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. They're divided up into all these different factions, and they're picking their leader that they like best, and they're following that particular leader. It's not like Paul and Apollos are against each other, but these people have divided up into factions. It's like today, people have a certain theologian that they admire, or a particular pastor that they admire. And so it was like Apollos apparently was a very eloquent preacher. And so people would gravitate to Apollos. And I follow Apollos. And they were elevating the particular leader only to the extent that it was puffing themselves up because of who they were following. And so what was going on here is they were dividing into groups because of pride. Pride had a chokehold on the community, on the unity that this church should have. They wanted to elevate themselves in the eyes of the community. And there's a bit of irony here for a couple of reasons. The first one is that these leaders that they're following and saying they follow, these leaders weren't teaching different teachings. They were all pointing everyone to Jesus. Their desire was unity, but the people who were following their particular leader were dividing up. So there's kind of some irony there. But there's also some irony in the fact that they were trying to puff themselves up. They were trying to be somebody. They were trying to look impressive to the community. And what Paul is saying to them is, guys, don't you realize when you follow Jesus, you look foolish to the eyes of the world. Because when you follow Jesus, you are following a crucified Messiah. And you know the cross, of course it was to kill the victim, it was to torture the victim, but even beyond that, it was also meant to humiliate the victim. There's no way you can look at the cross and be puffed up with pride. The cross humbles us. And that's the God we unify around. A God who died. A king who was crowned in thorns and reigned from a cross. And when we boast in the cross, all we're doing there is we're giving all the glory to God. We're seeing what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that through Jesus' death and his humiliating death and resurrection, death on the cross and taking our sins on himself, we have forgiveness of sins through that because that's what we deserve, but instead Jesus took our place and so that we can be forgiven. He brings us into this this community with fellow forgiven sinners who are all humble by the fact that Jesus has done this for us. So it doesn't make any sense for us to puff ourselves up when our unity is in Jesus Christ. It's because we have been served by God, then we desire to serve those around us, those in this community together and those outside this community. We want the mission to get out. And in order for the mission to get out, everyone here has their place in this community. Paul describes this community as a body. The body of Christ, and Christ is the head. Later on in this epistle, he actually illustrates this with an actual human body. He talks about how all the parts of the human body are there for a purpose. They function together, and they have different roles. So not every piece is the same piece. They have to be different pieces to function together. And so not everyone has the same gifts, right? And so you can't have everyone be in an eye. Then where's the sense of smell? Not everyone can be a hand. So you've got to have all the different parts working together to be a functioning body. And that's what we are to be as the church. I want to present you an illustration of what we don't want to be. I heard a pastor telling this one time. He was a chaplain at a hospital. And because he was a chaplain at the hospital, he had access to parts of the hospital that most people would never get to go into. One time, he was on one end of the hospital. There was an emergency on the other end of the hospital, and he had to get over there quickly. And so someone escorted him through a shortcut, which took him through a lab. He saw jars on shelves. He didn't know what they were, that they were actually human organs and body parts. And he didn't recognize them at first, but he knew a foot when he saw one. He knew a hand when he saw one. And he commented on how unnatural it was to see these lifeless organs and these limbs in jars cut off from a living body. And this is the application he made. He said that Christians who see no value in this community are like those amputated limbs cut off from a living body. But you see, it's easy for us to be here today and to think of those people who aren't here, or someone we haven't seen in a long time, and think of them as those amputated limbs not functioning in the body. But then he made this point, and this is the more disturbing part of this analogy, is that it's possible then to think that it could be possible we could all be sitting here in our seats today and we're all a bunch of amputated limbs in our own sealed jars, not interacting with anyone else. That's not the body that Paul envisions. As Christ's body, we are to be involved in each other's lives. We have to bear one another's burdens. We work together for the same goal. It is in this community that each one of us plays his or her part. Together we function as the body of Christ, and Christ is our head. And our purpose, the reason we work together, is to point each other to Christ and to make him known to those who don't know him. You see, this is a special community on earth. This is a unique community on earth. And we come together in this community as we gather around God's word. Do you know what happens here? God is present here among us. Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I among them. We come here, we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, remembering that we are baptized, and that's what connects us to this community. It's the only reason we can come into the presence of the Lord. And then when we confess our sins at the beginning of the service, we receive the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins, for all of our sins of thought, word, and deed. And then we hear the gospel proclaimed as it is right now, this morning. And we come to the table and we receive Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And there our sins are forgiven, our faith is strengthened, and our bond as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ is strengthened as well. We need this community. We need this community so that we can come to a greater understanding of Jesus and his love for us. As we live out our faith in this community, serving each other, showing the love of Christ to one another, we speak God's words to each other. We share with each other what God has done for us in our lives. And you know what happens when we do that? We grow in our knowledge and our understanding and our love for who God is. You see, Christian friends, Christian brothers and sisters are absolutely essential to keep us firm in our faith and to keep our faith growing. C.S. Lewis was part of a group called the Inklings, who was a group of famous writers. One of them was J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings. C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were very good friends. Another famous writer at the time, an author, was Charles Williams. Charles died unexpectedly, and C.S. Lewis reflected on the results of the loss of his friend Charles in his book, The Four Loves. And as C.S. Lewis is writing about this, he refers to Tolkien, he calls him Ronald, so just so you know who he's referring to. He says, in each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never see again Ronald's reaction to a specifically Charles joke. Far from having more of Ronald, I have him, having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. So what Lewis is saying is that, you know, when all his friends are together, he can see different aspects of his friends, different sides of their personality coming out as they're interacting with other friends. And when he's by himself, he only gets the part of that friend that's reacting to him. And so on his own, he can't see all the different sides of his friend's personality. It takes a community to know a person. How much more true is that of Jesus? It takes a community to know Jesus. And it's in this community that you and I, we know Jesus, we learn what Christ has done for others, and they learn what Christ has done for us. Some people have an understanding of Jesus and a grasp of his word that others don't, and they can help those out who don't quite have as much knowledge and understanding of our Lord, and we build each other up together in this community this way. It is as we come together that we are pointed to and we are pointing others to Jesus. And this is a community that is united to Jesus, and it centers on him, and it centers on the cross. And the only reason that you and I are in this community is because Jesus lost his community with the Father on the cross as he was taking our sins on himself so that we could be brought into a community with our Heavenly Father. And so we are in this community together by grace. This community is special. And therefore, it is a place worth supporting. It's a place worth supporting with our presence here regularly. It's a place worth supporting with our lives. It's a place worth supporting with all of the resources that our God has given to us. So that through this community, others may be connected to this community, connected to a kingdom, and connected to Jesus. May we be united to Jesus as this special community. And we do this for his sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Before we stand and give the creed, we want to, at this